Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Zoe Larson coming. Brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
I was just going to add to the claps on that. Morena, Zoe, how are you?
I'm good, how are
good,
you?
Good, you're wearing a fantastic Seinfeld shirt this morning.
Thank you.
Just got to let
George
the listeners
Costanza.
Know. Fashion icon. Hey, we've got a guest in the studio as well. Morning, Freya. How are
you? Morning. I'm good, thank you. Good to be here.
Freya Finch of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
And congratulations to Joe, who won the double pass to the 11th is the night that you can go along. Your name and a plus one will be on the door.
Yeah. That's our first night.
Very exciting.
It'll be fun.
Be very cool.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about, Zoe?
Yeah. So first up, who are Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and what happened to them?
Good question.
Are they okay?
Who are they? So they are two minor characters in Hamlet. They are Hamlet's university friends. And in this play, they are the leads, so they take centre stage. So it's kind of like everything that happens in the wings of Hamlet for them. It's their sort of backstory of trying to work out what is going on and what they're supposed to be doing. And the comedy kind of comes from them sort of never being in the right place at the right time and never getting quite enough information. So the Hamlet crew kind of storm in, give them a little bit of information and then leave, and they're left being like, did you get that?
Yeah.
Cool. So it's quite funny in that sense.
There's a lot of coin flipping goes
on. Yeah, the show starts with some coin flipping, and that's a bit of a recurring thing. There's a lot of stuff in there kind of about luck and probability and chance, fate, those sort of big themes of the world.
And what makes them so special, and what do you think seeing Hamlet from their perspective gives it that seeing it from Ophelia's perspective wouldn't?
I think, firstly, they're kind of clowns.
Right.
Like, they serve the function of being the clowns. So I think there's kind of a joy in watching that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're kind of the every people. They're like us, you know, they're not royalty. They're not a prince or a king. So we can maybe, like, understand them a bit more and their strife.
The drama
of it all.
In the theatre, who would have thought?
Is it kind of like taking the piss a little bit of Shakespeare? Like, would you describe it as satire or like a commentary on how he wrote? Or
yeah, there's definitely some satirical elements. Language is like a big thing that's tossed around a lot in the play. So like they're often kind of misunderstanding each other, or there's like this whole kind of bit where they play at questions, like trying to ask it, like literally play the game questions where you have to answer with a question.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that where Stoppard is definitely like kind of challenging the English language and all these rules we set up within it, and then we break them. Yeah.
Cool.
So I think in that way he's probably like throwing Shakespeare up a bit. And and amazingly, English was his second language. And
wow,
if you come
wow.
and see the play, it's like
the most incredibly
insane.
Wordplay is a big part of it.
It's like every fifth word I've had to like look it up on Google.
Thesaurus.com.
And like Shakespeare doesn't really age, and we can adapt it to any circumstance. And this play first was staged at the 1966 Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Has the play itself aged at all, or is it kind of like Shakespeare in like a timeless sense?
So there's a few like drafts or versions of it. So I suppose it's aged in that sense, like he's adapted things. But yeah, it's pretty timeless really. It's about, you know, two people trying to navigate their way through the world and life and and work things out, so it's pretty universal and timeless, like in that sense. Yeah, it's quite amazing. He wrote it in you know, 1960s. It was put on at Edinburgh Fringe, and then the National Theatre had a production fall down, and so someone was like, look, get this play in there, like
take
a punt on this play kind of thing. And they were like, I don't know, like this guy's kind of a nobody. And then they put it on and it was like a massive
huge hit.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool success story.
Would you recommend this to someone who either like doesn't know anything about Shakespeare besides his like roughly neck thing?
His roughly neck thing.
There's roughly
his
neck things
patch
in the show.
His roughly neck thing.
Yeah. I'll be wearing a roughly neck thing.
Oh,
nice.
Very nice.
I'm only doing Shakespeare if I get to wear the roughly neck thing. Thank you very much.
I made sure it was in my contract. So.
But would you recommend it to someone that thinks Shakespeare's old-fashioned, or...
I would, because I think it definitely modernises it, for one. And if you don't know Hamlet, then you're kind of on the same page as the main characters.
Oh, yeah,
because
nice.
They don't know what's going on either.
Yeah.
So you can just go along for the ride with them and
no prior knowledge needed.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, like, for sure, if you wanted to, like, read some, I don't know, wiki know-hows on Hamlet, like, it might help you a little bit, but
get
you don't
spark
need
notes
to,
out.
Yeah. to know yeah. the play. Yeah, spark yeah. notes. That's what I was
Shout
looking
out
for.
To my high school English.
Yeah,
got, me,
yeah.
got me through.
Would the bard himself like this absurdist rendition of his most tragical work?
I think so. I hope so.
I reckon he had a pretty good sense of humour.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah. for sure. Yeah, I think he'd find it pretty funny.
Cool.
Yeah. And we've kept, like, some of the tragedy in there, like, as you can probably guess from the title.
Oh, yeah.
There is a sad, sad twist of fate coming to the lead characters. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead, put on by ATC, Auckland Theatre Company. They open on the 11th of September.
Fantastic.
And they've got a long season until the 26th, so get in there. Tickets are $20 to $74, depending on how fancy you're feeling.
Yeah, cool. And there's $30 tickets for under 30s, which is cool.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, book tickets for that.
Amazing. Cool.
Thank you very much, Freya.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Cheers, guys.
What else is happening in the theatre world,
Zoe? The theatre realm. Ritu Alchemy is a really beautiful piece that's on at Basement at the moment. Tonight and tomorrow. It closes tomorrow, so getting fast. But it is two shows a night, so you've got four opportunities to go see it. And my flatmate came back from this just raving about
awesome.
It the other night. And from what I could tell, it's this like beautiful, evocative ceremony and like lots of movement and incantation. And the title itself, Ritu, is like the ritual processes
cool.
before initiation
mm-hmm.
and alchemy, like turning your base form into gold.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, so it sounds really moving, and I feel like it'll be one of those pieces that you're like swept up in for 75 minutes and you leave feeling all like
magical,
changed
and golden.
That's tonight.
Cool.
And also Short and Sweet is still on. There's
nice.
A whole new lineup of shows from what I talked about last week. And that is tonight and tomorrow. And then the gala is on Sunday night.
Very
which
cool.
I think is the best of the best.
And that's at Basement Theatre, eh?
No, that
no.
is at
oh,
TAPAC
my
in
bad.
Western Springs, the
Good
Auckland
stuff.
Performing Arts Centre.
Very cool.
$20 to $25 for that. And also same sort of price for Ritu Alchemy as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks, Freya,
yeah,
again
thanks,
for popping
Freya.
In.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff.
That was Stage Direction with Zoe Larson Cumming, brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
Thank you to Zoe and Freya. Also, thanks to